Well, good morning. I don't know about y'all, but I get all verklempt. No, I get, thank you three for getting the reference. I find that whenever I'm singing or whenever I'm praying, basically whenever I'm praising, I have a physical reaction to it, right? I have a physical reaction to it. My nose runs, my eyes water. It's just a simple physical reaction that happens. Not because I'm sad by any stretch of the imagination, but because more than anything, I'm happy. So I get to teach y'all this morning kind of like I teach the kids, right? Which is a lot of fun if you've never been up there. By the way, if you've never been up there, we have fun upstairs. We really do. Usually what I try to do is I try to start them with a song just like I start y'all, right? And so that's what we're going to do. And it's a real simple song. Everybody ought to know it. If you were ever in children's church, if you were ever a child at church for any length of time, or you had Christian parents, you know this song, and it's very simple. It is Jesus Loves Me, right? And so, here we go. Ready? Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. There's a second verse to it, but I think that one's good enough for now. Actually, the second verse is actually quite important. It says, Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. Jesus loves me when I'm bad, though it makes him very sad. Ah, that's the kicker. God loves you. He loves you just like your parents do or should have. If you had bad parents, some of us had not the greatest parents. Not all of us felt the love that we should have from our parents, that when we talk about love of God and him being a heavenly father, that doesn't always strike a good chord with people. Because every once in a while you come across a person who maybe didn't enjoy their father. Maybe he didn't express his love to them the way they would have hoped, or they maybe perceived other people did. Or maybe he was just rough, you know? And that happens. That happens. However, we do have a heavenly Father. And his love is greater and more amazing and beyond anything that we could ever think of or imagine. And so here's what it says here. I wrote this. I was having a really good sleep. This was in March of 21. I was having a very good sleep. It was the early March. It was just after Snowmageddon. Everybody remember that? And I sleep like a polar bear in the cold, which was great for me. It was not good for a lot of people, including, and unfortunately, my very own little sister, who ultimately died from what was bad decisions on her behalf, but in reality, she died from injuries that she received during the freeze. Basically, she got frostbite, and because she was a diabetic and a double amputee, she really didn't have the proper feeling for to understand all of what had exactly happened. And then ultimately, that's if you ever get frostbite, whenever it begins to thaw, if it thaws wrong, it will die. Your skin will die, and if you don't catch it fast enough, if you don't realize what's happening quick enough, it can kill you, and it did. And so, from the world perspective, what happened to her was a result of the freeze. In reality, it was a result of her bad decisions, which she was unfortunately plagued with. But here's the one thing that she knew more than anything, and what comforted me and comforts everyone, is she knew Jesus, right? And so, but having no idea of any of that going on, at the 1st of March, it's actually March 3rd, I woke from a dream. I was having a really great sleep. And when I woke up, I was dreaming, I was thinking of the song. I was dreaming of the song, Jesus Loves Me. As I'm waking up, God began to talk to me about the song. And for those of you who have God talk to you, it's a fantastic thing. We love it. It's amazing to hear God's voice. It's amazing when he comes to you, because he does tend to speak to me especially, not me especially over you, but especially in a certain instance in my life, like when I'm in a sort of a dream state, you know, in that in-between time, in that quiet early morning when my head's not really thinking of anything else yet, you know, that time when you're stumbling to the bathroom and you're still going over what you had been thinking of a minute ago, you know. Does anybody else have the ability to pause their dream like a commercial and go back to it when you get in bed? I'm the only one. Okay, yay, good. All right, I'm not the only one. Okay. So it's a strange thing, but it just meant I went back into REM state pretty fast. However, here's what God did. He had the song in my head. I was going over it. And as I'm singing it and I'm thinking about it, he begins to unload what it means. What does it really mean? It's a sweet song. We all learned it. It's very nice. You know, Jesus loves me. Oh, how sweet. That's wonderful. Yay me. God loves me. No, here's what it means. And God told me to write this down, and so now I'm going to read it to you. Everything I needed to know about Jesus, God, religion, my life, my place in the universe, I learned at a very young age, as a child, through one simple song. It was Jesus Loves Me. It told me that Jesus, Lord of the universe, creator and sustainer of life, has the deepest care, concern, and desire of all things good for me and for you. It told me that I know this, which means I understand, trust, and can rely on this. I don't just think it. I know it deep down. It told me the Bible is where I can go to learn all I want about the one who loves me. It's easy to see the story of Jesus' life written in the Gospels. The apostles, they tell their stories and teach others about Jesus in their letters and the writings of the New Testament. But Jesus is really found on every page of the Bible. All the way back to Genesis, at the beginning of the Old Testament, at the beginning of time, God, through Jesus, created everything. God says in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." He made me. He made you. Wouldn't he know everything about something that he made? It tells me I belong to Jesus, that he'll take care of me. That I don't have to be strong. I don't have to be strong all the time. He's strong for me. It told me he loves me, and love is such a big thing. We use the word a lot these days. We do. Mostly we use it to imply that we like or enjoy or appreciate something or someone. when we open a gift that we really like, we say, oh, I love this. If you ask Mary, what do you think of fries? I will tell you, I love fries. But do I? No. No. I love my husband. I love my children. If there was a them or me moment, like you see in the movies, yes, I would die for them. That's how deep real love goes. That's how much Jesus loves. Of course, in John 3:16, it says, for God loved the world so much. Because if you see it, it says, for God so, which means God so much loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but would have everlasting life. And I didn't have to do anything for it. It's not because I'm good. It's not because of any personal thing within me or you or any of us. It's simply because God loves. And in Romans 5:8, it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how deep his love goes. So when I sing the song, and I think about how it's phrased, yes, Jesus loves me. And when I think on it, I say, yes, Jesus loves me. But bigger than anything, oh, Lord, yes. Jesus loves me and you. And the Bible is what tells us so. I knew these things as a child. I became saved when I was 8 years old. I accepted Jesus when I was little. That's why I think Children's Church is important. And that's how come if you ever come to Children's Church, you will see that not only will I tell them what the Bible says, but I will explain to them deeper. Not just the highlights. Not just that you're loved. But that there was a cost. That there was a reason. That we started out in perfection. And we threw it away. But we don't have to stay that way. We don't have to stay that way. And for children, especially not knowing what the world is going to have coming at them later on, not knowing, from my perspective, what their home life is like. I love you all, but I'm not in your house, so I don't know. I don't know what their school life is like. I don't know how they're treated, right? So for them to understand that there is truly somebody who loves them more than anybody on this entire earth could ever even pretend to is a big deal. You find a child who's hurting. You find a child who's been neglected. One that feels ignored. And let them know that God, who, as we sing, has the whole world in his hand, cares so much about you that he brings his word to you so that you can know him. He wants to know you so badly that he did that. That's what we're telling people. That's what the gospel is. That's what the good news is. The good news isn't just, you know, Jesus came. No, it's Jesus came He left heaven. And if there were only one person, if you were the one and only person that would ever accept him and say yes, he would have done it just for you. Now, the hard one to accept, that he'll do it for your enemy too. I teach him that as well. I teach him that we have to be good to people. Because you don't know what's in their life. You don't know where they came from. You don't know what's happening to them, what their thoughts are. You realize right now, this minute, there is no one in here who is having the exact same thought as you are. Your experience is completely unique. We're all here together in one place, hearing the same thing, but not any of us are having the same thoughts. Your experience is unique. And that's what God loves about you. And that's what he created for you. Now, don't get me wrong. The life that you're living is not the one that he really, really wanted for you. The life that you're living is the one that, you know, he had to allow, because sin is in the world. Sin exists. It's here. The world is not okay. It's not just that there's some bad people. There's some people who sin. No. When creation was cursed, the entire world began to die. The entire world was cursed. The dirt was cursed. We have to work hard for what we get now. And that is something that not everybody tells you. Not everybody tells you. No, because if you look on social media and TV and life is easy and everything's good and everybody looks great. And if you put me at this perfect angle, has anybody seen the one? It shows a picture on one side. It's a couple of pretty little daisies going, oh, we're so cute. And then on the next one, it shows a couple bananas looking at it going, yeah, I like that one. Because there are things laid out from this angle, they look like daisies. In reality, they were bananas. That's the thing. Everything that you see, I remember when I was a kid, they would say, believe none of what you hear and half of what you see. Nowadays, don't believe any of it at all. Oh my goodness. AI? They got some great videos out there. Look and sound very, very close to reality. You got to look close on some of them. Those deepfakes are really good. But the reality that we live in is not the reality that Adam and Eve were created in. That reality disappeared. We don't get to get back into that kind of reality, that kind of, you know, perfection again until this world is gone and remade. And that's what happens. But here, while we're here, when we have our time, and our time is short, the Bible says it's like a vapor. Psh, done. How many of y'all still use like aerosol hairspray? I don't care about the ozone, I use aerosol hairspray. All right? Because that other stuff just spits at you. But that, and then it disappears. That's us. We're a vapor. That quick. God is everywhere. He sees everything. Knows everything. He knows what you're thinking. And the problem that we all have is that sin exists. And because sin exists, we're stuck with it. It's in the world. We have to put up with a world filled with it. And unfortunately, the world doesn't love Jesus. Jesus loves us, but the world doesn't love him. And so it's all against him and anyone who loves him. And so it's a battle. We go out and we battle daily. We have to battle our own thoughts. It says that we're supposed to take our thoughts captive, tear down strongholds, anything that raises itself up against Jesus, not as easy to do when you're young and you don't know that every thought in your head didn't come from you. Every thought in your head does not come from you. Sometimes you get that wonderful little, back in the day we used to have the pictures of the little angel, the little devil, you know. Little devil's going, come on, you should eat the chocolate cake. And the little angel's going, no, you really shouldn't do that, you know. You're never going to fit in that dress, right? No. Wait till after the wedding, wait, you know, that sort of thing. But no, you've got the one saying, go ahead, cut in line. Go ahead, tell them they're ugly. Go ahead, push somebody, you know. Think about things that kids do. Kids are mean. Kids are mean. They're very mean. By the time they're teenagers, they're horrible. Partly it's because they haven't learned to filter, you know. They haven't learned to filter. As adults, we learn to filter ourselves. Unfortunately, a whole lot of the world has forgotten how to filter themselves via TikTok. Good Lord. Things that we used to think were horrible and we would never let anyone know. Folks are filming themselves do and putting it on the web for the world to know because there's no shame. And the Bible told us there wouldn't be any when we got to the end, that there wouldn't be any. There's going to be like the days of Noah, you know. The days of Noah were so bad that God decided to scrap it all. But we still got to bring these kids up. We got to teach them. If you did not teach your children that Jesus loves them, and I mean that Jesus loves them in the way that I just described to you, then there they are, not knowing. They have no ammunition in the world. They have nothing to hold on to when it gets hard, when they're afraid, when it feels dark, when it's literally dark. They have nothing to hold on to because we're not there all the time, every day, but Jesus is. And everybody needs to know that. Everybody needs to know that. So we start with our kids when they're little. It says, if you will raise them up in the way that they should go, though they may depart from it, they will return. Nurture an admonition of the Lord. That's what they have to know. Not everything's yes. No is a proper answer. Hate when I'm told no, because I really want a yes. Recently had a discussion with God, was really hoping for a yes. If I wanted an answer, Scott and I do this to each other. Well, we use each other as a sounding board without them knowing it, okay? If I have a question that I'm asking God and I really have it's an absolute like A or B, right? Then I come up with a question and I tell God, all right, I'm going to ask Scott. He used to do this to me all the time. I'm going to ask her where she wants to go to lunch. If she says this, the answer is yes. If she says that, the answer is no. And like he'd go, where do you want to go to lunch? And I'd go this and he'd go, okay. I was like, oh, clearly the answer was no. Okay, I was like, you didn't want to do that? No, that sounds good. That sounds good. You know. And so other times it's like, all right, let's go there, you know. I'm walking in to go ask God this, and I was like, all right, Lord, and this is big, and I'm asking you for it, and I really want this. Man, I really want this, and I really want this to be, and I'm going to do my absolute best to not skew the answer, because if I know you well enough, I can make yes the answer that I know you'll do, right? And so that was the hardest part, was trying to find a question that I could ask him that I couldn't skew. So I figured it out. It took me a week and a half, 2 weeks to figure out. Like, this was a long process. Trying to figure out how to not make the scales tip towards the answer that I wanted. I wanted the truth. And you should always want the truth from God. It doesn't matter if you get the answer you want. What you really want is the truth. And so I go in and I'm like, all right, and I'm literally on my way to it. I'm going, and if the answer is no, and I'm not even going to cry, I promise I won't. And I'll just take it and it'll be all okay. All right, this is going to be good. Let's go do this. And so I ask him the question and he gives me the answer and I go, mm-hmm. And he goes, did I answer wrong? Nope. He said, you look a little, I'm like, mm-mm. I'm good. No, I'm just gonna be right up here, you know. That's literally how I had to take the no. I really wanted it too. But the thing is, just like when I was a kid, I'm a child of God. If he tells me no, he has a reason. See, I'm a parent. I've had to tell my children no. And I had a reason. They didn't always know the reason. The reason didn't really matter. It wasn't going to matter to their life at that moment, you know, whether or not they get to, no, I got something else, no. It's like, no, you can't have ice cream. We're on our way to a party, you know. They don't know that, but that's the thing. I don't know why God told me no, but he did, and he's in charge. So I submit. That's what you do. You submit. That being said, here's the thing that I want everyone to know. And here's the thing that God wants everyone to know. And it's going to walk us right through the road. As a repeat, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. All we have to do is believe it. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us are good enough. None of us make it on our own merits. Our merits are dust. They actually call it worse than that, but we'll call it dust compared to the righteousness of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. A wage is something you earn. A gift is something you're given. Do you want what you're earning? Or do you want a gift? Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, none of our merit. Nothing for us. Romans 10:9. This is the important one. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So the question in my mind is this. The world, you know, comes at you, well, why would you believe in this? Why would you think of that? They don't like our Bible. They think you're mean. Why would a loving God send anyone to hell? Ah, you're asking the wrong question. The real question is not, why would a loving God send anyone to hell? The real question is, why would anyone choose hell over a loving God? Because that's what we're doing if we do not choose him. Inaction is an action. To decide to not decide is to decide
against.
Oh, I'll wait and see.
Will you?
You know you have tomorrow? You know you have your next breath?
No.
No, you don't, I don't, none of us do. That's why God puts us here. That's why we do this. We are charged as Christians to give this news to other people, to point it out to them in exactly this fashion. This isn't what Mary said. That was what God said. It's His word, the Bible, the word of God. That is what the Lord said about Himself and about us. We have to choose. If we don't choose, we've already chosen. So do your utmost this week to remember who you are, to remember who God is, and to understand that the people around you, maybe they know it, maybe they don't. But more than anything, they need it. And if they don't hear it from you, who will they hear it from? One of the hardest things I ever did was not get to the hospital for Lewis. Not Brother Lewis. I was there for him. My very good friend. My former brother-in-law, Luis Lamas. I believe it is my prayer, looking back over actions and activity, that yes, he was here. He had been here. He had been exposed to the truth. He'd been here. He knew about God. There's a lot of people in the world who know about God but don't know God, and that's a problem. And I had a strong desire to go and talk to him. And I never got the chance to. I was busy. He was busy. He was here. He was there. He was in ICU. He was out of ICU. I couldn't catch up to him. By the time I finally did get to go and see him finally in the hospital, I couldn't talk to him about it. It was too late. He wasn't able to talk about it. So I simply prayed over him, which is the best thing I could do at the time. After having that happen, when my little sister was in the hospital, I was not going to let that happen again. I had to know. I had to know, not only for my own comfort, because it is a comfort to know where they are, to know that they're safe, they're with God. It's okay. But more than anything, I had to know for her. I had to know where she was going to be. Because if I was to get to heaven and find out she wasn't there, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. Who do you have in your life that you would be devastated over not seeing in heaven? If you don't see them there, does it break your heart? Because we know the opposition of heaven. We know what the other end of it is. The other end of it is hell, death, damnation. It is eternal separation from God, torture, and torment. Do you want that for the people you love? Why would we not tell them? I'll push you out in front of a car that's coming at you. I'll jump in front of a bullet for you. I'll grab the poisonous snake and throw it away from you. whatever. If I would do all of those outlandish, ridiculous, crazy things to save your life here, why wouldn't I tell you about Jesus to give you life there? What's wrong with us? Who are we afraid of? Well, people think bad of me, Mary. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't want to be one of those crazy Christians, you know. I actually have a phrase for it when I was a teenager, because we would go to youth camp, right? Everybody get all fired up at youth camp. If anybody's ever seen teenagers come back from youth camp, they're like, "Woo, Jesus!" You know, and you're like, "Oh my gosh, they were rabid Christians. They're chasing down everybody. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus?" I was like, "Whoa, slow your roll, man. That's kind of scary." But it wasn't. In their heart. In their heart, what it was they knew where they were going to be, and they knew that if you don't get to go there, they're going to feel like it's their fault. Because you're their friend, you're their relative, you're their neighbor. It's going to eat at them. And it should. It should. That was the whole. It wasn't just the amazement of the Holy Spirit being poured out and the amazement of Jesus being back, or the amazement of the miracles that made the disciples run quickly, tell everyone. It wasn't just that they were so amazed that it happened. No, they were told, they remembered. It's Jesus who said, "And there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth, and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and wailing and gnashing of teeth." That's what he said. That's in the sermon. And what they knew was, he made the way. He opened the door. He paid the price. We have admission. All we have to do is take the ticket, and then we're safe. From the wailing and gnashing of teeth. But not only are we safe from that, we have all the amazing blessings of God. Everybody loves all the, like, "Woo, God's wonderful. He's lovely. This is great." We've got all of these churches nowadays, the happy clappy church. Everything is wonderful and Jesus is great. And my bank account is going to be wonderful every day. And then you've got the other ones that'll tell you, and all you have to do is give more to us and God will give back to you. Who's getting rich in that scheme? Or my favorite one. Here's one. You know how you sell tickets? When I was in marketing, we call it selling tickets, meaning get people to an event. They don't actually have to pay to be there. They just have to be there, right? You know how you sell tickets to church? You tell people if they don't show up, they're going to hell. If you're not here every Sunday, well, then you know. Well, I know that you got saved and baptized and you do all these things, but if you're not here every Sunday, I don't know. You know, there's people who actually lie to folks that way. It's a legitimate thing. I found that out. I went to a church and sat there and went, "Oh, wow. There are people who are lying to lots and lots of other people. From the pulpit." How scary is that? But the truth is this. Once you belong to the Lord, you belong to the Lord. Think about that. He holds the whole world in his hands. Do you think there's anybody, including you, that can take you out of his hand? No, Jesus said, "Father, of all that you've given me, I have not let go of one of them. I have not lost one." So, the altar's open. If anybody wants to come up here and pray, if you have anything you want to pray about, you can do anything. You could come up and you could talk to God about your day, your finances, your health. You can just praise him for being so great to you. Maybe you got away from the Lord. I have. I've done that multiple times. Gotten away from the Lord. Had to come back and apologize. This is a great place to do it. I did it right here. Literally, right there. back in 2000. Like I said, I've been saved since I was a little girl. I didn't live like it for a long time. There was a good batch of time where I didn't live like it. I was part of the world. I was not of the world, but I was sure stuck out in it. I had enough dirt on me from it. I had to come in here and get washed. That's what God said. That's what Jesus said. He said, "Let me wash your feet." My two favorite people, David, Peter. Why? They're just like me. They'll screw it up every time. They will. They'll make a mess of it. David and Peter. My favorite words. What an oxymoron. No, Lord. I'm sorry. Is it no or is it Lord? But he says, "Let me wash your feet." And he said, "No. No, I can't let you do that. I can't let you do that. I know who you are. I can't let you do that to me. I should be doing you." And he's like, "No." He said, "I'm telling you, if you don't let me do this, you're not going to be part of me." So then he's always all in, right? "Well, wash all of me, man. Give me the full bath. Give me the full bath. I'm all in." And he says, "No, no. All you got to do is wash your feet." Because we walk out in this world every day and we get dusty. And we get in the Word because that's how we wash. We are washed by the water of the Word. Dig into your Bible. Start anywhere. Okay, don't start in Deuteronomy. It's annoying. Or Numbers. Numbers. Oh. If you're new to reading your Bible, if you're new to reading your Bible, start in John. John is basically God's love letter to us. Feels like it. It tells us exactly how much he loves us and who we are and who he is. All right. So, again, altar, anybody? We're going to pray. Let's stand. You got some rededicating to do? Go for it. You got some apologizing to do? Go ahead. If you just have some thanking to do, feel free. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for never leaving us, never forsaking us, never leaving us as orphans, fatherless. Thank you for bringing hope for us hopeless people. Thank you for being light in this dark, dark place. Oh, thank you for your word. And thank you for allowing us to be born and live where we currently do, because we still have the rights and the abilities to get a hold of your word, to read it, to know it, to speak about it to others. There's a lot of people in the world who don't have that. So, Father, we just lift those people before you and pray that there is grace that is given them, that someone will find them and bring them your words. The Bible says that you're not going to come back until everybody has the chance to know you. We stand on that, and we know that no matter where you are in this world, someday, somehow, someone is going to tell them. Someone's going to tell them about Jesus. And it's up to them to choose. Father, help everyone to choose wisely. Help everyone to choose you. Bless us all. From the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. Father, give us health. Give us wisdom. More than anything, give us understanding. Understanding of your word. Bless us and keep us. Make your face shine upon us. Turn your face towards us in our time of need. And give us strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody.